following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. Deodorant applied and reapplied, hair combed. We're ready for Hour 2 with Todd and I. My name's Fred Penny. I'm the host. We've got Cal behind the glass as usual. You want to call in at 855-LAW-RADIO or tweet us at Radio Law Talk. And we've got a lot of exciting things going on this hour because we have Pat here, and Pat is actually a good friend of mine, and he's got to learn not to breathe in his mic, though. That's the thing he's got to learn. When Pat walks in, we're like, Pat's been here before, so it's not like this is anything new for Pat. This is the second time here, but Todd's kind of giving this advice. Okay, I'm like, oh, he doesn't need that advice. Hey, you're breathing in your mic and you're dealing with your papers, so stop.
It's Pat Vader. It's Darth Vader's brother.
These aren't the land use regulations you're looking for. Who is your father? Yes.
So Pat, you know, if you don't recall, you do get made fun of when you come on the show. You should have said no, and but you did.
I know. I didn't learn from my mistake again.
That's exactly right. So you know, Mitchell Chadwick is a very well known firm that does kind of. I discussed this before. He does. Kind of land use. They do oil. You do some oil and gas. A little bit of oil and gas. Yeah. You do some mining. Farmer. You represent a lot of farming.
We do.
Farming communities.
Agricultural conservation easements.
Yeah.
You do mitigation banks.
You do a lot. So this is an interesting topic, and we need to talk about some kind of cool things or interesting things that are going on right now in actually the United States, but a couple of things in California. And he's going to bring that stuff up. But remember a couple of things. The first thing is we're talking about general areas of law. And if you want to call in and talk to Pat, now's the time to do it within the next hour. He's going to be here for 1 hour. But, you know, we're not going to, you know, tell you exactly how you need to handle something. Make sure you go hire a local law firm wherever you are. Don't forget, Pat, believe it or not, we are in more than California, we're in other states. So if you call in, he can help you give you some general overview. But we are barred in the state of California, except I am Washington, D.C. And you are, let's see,
just California.
So, and same with you, Pat, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So anyway, and we're going to have a case or no case next hour. You know, Pat was smart enough to say that he is going to leave for vacation, and so he's only staying here an hour. Smart enough not to get nailed at case or no case. But we're going to talk more about, we just finished about Prince. We're going to talk about Beats by Dre, the lawsuit. We got Reggie Bush lawsuit we're going to talk about. We got the fan injured by a foul ball suing the Red Sox for $9.5 million. Again, as I said at the beginning of the hour and last hour, what's the first thing you think, Todd, and I always think is, not going to happen.
Yeah.
But wait till you hear the facts on this and you're going to change your mind. The dancing doctor lawsuit. Man, Cal, we were sitting here dancing with your music prior to starting the show, and this doctor was actually dancing. Yeah. Yeah. Actually dancing while doing an operation. And the operation, though, isn't just like, you know, a little cutting a little cyst out. It was actual plastic surgery, and so they're claiming now that she messed up this person's plastic surgery. But the issue is, it's posted on YouTube. She puts it on YouTube. Whoopsie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd be doing that. And by the way, there is a disclaimer that you sign that says that they can video it. It wasn't signed by the client. I mean, by the patient.
Uh-oh.
Whoopsie.
That's a bit of a problem.
We're going to talk about the Whale Whisperer lawsuit. British Airways is being sued by its club members, millions of dollars. We're going to follow up on the most interesting one. Come on. We got to follow up on Weinstein, right?
Yeah. Whale Whisperer?
Whale Whisperer. We're going to talk about that. The Whale Whisperer. And
and Weinstein. But yeah, of course, yeah, yeah. I'm repeating myself.
Yeah, yeah. Weinstein, Whale Whisperer. WW. Kind of, isn't that the same thing? Whale Whisperer and Weinstein? Does Weinstein do some whispering,
kind of a
too?
Big guy, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, we're going to get into all that stuff. Yeah. Whisperer.
That's what all the guests who had left his hotel room. I felt like I had to be a whale whisperer.
Exactly.
He's huge.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, so Patrick, tell me, there's about 11 lawyers in your firm, and I know your partner really well is Braden Chadwick. He's a good lawyer and a friend of mine, and you're a good friend of mine. And anytime we have these interesting issues, we bring it up to you. In fact, I have a water issue. I have a ranch, and I had a water question issue, and I called Braden, and Braden told me, okay, this is going to be the issue. You got to do this and this and this. And then I had to take him to dinner after that. That was, I guess, it's really cheap for me.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, cheapest legal advice this week.
That's exactly right. So tell me, talk about the case that I sent to you. I said, we got to talk about this. So what's going on?
All right. So basically, the state passed the law, Senate Bill 50, and they essentially said if the federal government's going to get rid of any other land in California, they have to give the state the right of first refusal. So that sounds ridiculous. It's probably because it is. Think about it. It'd be like if they passed a law and said, if you guys are going to sell your house, before you sell it to anyone else, you have to give the state the right of first refusal. And that would be like ridiculous on its face, right? So they're basically saying the same thing about the federal government. In my opinion, it's clearly unconstitutional, the law. I mean, to me, it's, you know, some things in the law we know as lawyers are gray areas.
Right.
This isn't gray. This is black and white.
Wow.
Under the Supremacy Clause and the Property Clause, the federal government owns their own land. So that's the Property Clause. They can do whatever they want with it, just like we can. And secondly, the Supremacy Clause is obviously they're supreme to the state. So the combination of either of those independently, but the combination for sure of both, this, in my opinion, this case is easily winnable by the federal government, by the Trump administration.
So what happened to this? Is it the Trump administration bring a lawsuit, or how did this come up? Did California pass a law, or
so,
what?
So California passed this law. It was proposed by a legislator out of Santa Monica. It's passed, right, and obviously signed by the governor. They had to know at every level, in my opinion, that it is unconstitutional. Maybe the legislator didn't, because, you know, frankly, they probably don't know anything about constitutional law or federal public land law. But in the levels of the government, there's no way they could have gotten this through and not known what they're doing, in my opinion. So then the federal government, the AG's office, Sessions, filed a lawsuit in federal court in Sacramento a couple months ago. So it's pending in federal court right now, and they're basically saying the state law is unconstitutional and invalid and needs, you know, overruled by the federal courts.
So basically the state's saying, trying to tell the federal government, hey, you don't have all the rights to that property. Even though it's yours, you have the right to sell it, but we have the right to buy it first before you sell it to someone else.
To anyone else. Yeah, that's correct. And the other so that's sort of the constitutional issues. The other thing, just factually, it shows, and this part of the state may not understand because they're not always swift on federal public land laws, but if you go back in history, which the AG did mention in that article, Sessions, that, you know, we ended up with California at the end of the Mexican-American War, the U.S. United States, right. 1848. This is an important
right.
We end up with Mexico, basically. That's part of the treaty, right? We get California and a few other states, I think Arizona and New Mexico. When that happens, that's 2 years before we become a state. So the federal government owns the entire state of California, and they accepted out already existing Mexican and Spanish land grants. Those were grandfathered under the treaty.
Wow. So the federal government owned it in the first place?
2 years before we were even a state.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So, and that's the interesting thing that you brought up during the break, which we're going to bring up when we get back, is that also applies to all these marijuana laws that are coming forth in California, and you're applying that to the new laws and new things that are happening in Sacramento, California, which is going to start happening all over the United States soon. In fact, we're going to discuss that, too, with Trump's recent, was it a tweet or was it just a...
It was an article. There's a bill that has been promulgated by Elizabeth Warren and on the Democratic side and Republican to legalize marijuana on the federal level.
And we're going to talk more about that when we come back with Todd, myself, and our special guest, Patrick Mitchell.
You're listening to Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com on your favorite station and on our website. We thank you. We'll be right back. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only.
business needs growth to survive, and Accelerate U is in the business of growing your business. Accelerate U gets it. They have sales professionals, real top talent teams. Accelerate U has venture capitalists, and Accelerate U has strategic partners who roll up their sleeves and help you grow your business. It's what they do. They help people in business just like you. In fact, last year, Accelerate U launched 30 successful go-to markets for startup companies. With success like that, you can see why Accelerate U is able to only work with a select group of companies, perhaps yours. If you want to increase revenue for your business, call 916-BETTER-0. That's 916-237-7370. 916-BETTER-0. Come on, grab the phone. Make the call. Accelerate U. 916-BETTER-0. Again, call 916-BETTER-0 for Accelerate U.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I've got to get my car washed. This dirt, it just won't do. But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Man, I know this place right down the road. Quick, quack, car wash. Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cat and shine. Just come and see, I guarantee your ride will steal the show. Come on, quick, quack, car wash. Don't drive that dirty car. Quick, quack, car wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
The following announcement brought to you by SacramentoLawyer.com.
Finding the right lawyer for your particular needs can be confusing. With all the commercials and listings, and who's to say whether the lawyers there are even any good at what they do. So when you're looking for a lawyer, it makes sense to find someone local with the experience and expertise in that area of the law where you have a need. That's why there is SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
At SacramentoLawyer.com, you just browse the site, free, and see the Facebook reviews on the firms you're considering with just a simple mouse click. That way you learn a little bit more about the lawyers there before you start making this critical decision. And there's no pressure. Use the right tool to find the lawyer that's best for you by going to SacramentoLawyer.com.
SacramentoLawyer.com.
That's SacramentoLawyer.com.
You're listening to RadioLawTalk.com. And now back to your host, Frederick Penny.
We're here with Patrick Mitchell, better known as Pat, my friend does a lot of cool stuff when it comes to land law. And we're talking about land law, you know, mining law, regulations. He knows all about that stuff. We're talking about this case or the lawsuit that was brought by the Trump administration, the federal government, and Todd, about the basically, the issue is whether or not the state of California has the first right of refusal any time the federal government wants to sell a piece of piece of federal land that's within the state of California's area.
And the question I have is, obviously, well, you'd like to think that this was the case, that there is some basic reason why somebody would propose this law at the legislative level, what fear they have, what they're trying to get. So when this law was first proposed in California, what was it that they were trying to protect or that they said that they feared would happen that made this law a necessity?
So essentially their concern that their alleged concern is that federal property could be sold to developers or oil and gas companies, things like that. In some other Western states, the basic concern is a state's rights issue. Why should someone in Washington, D.C. be deciding what happens in the state of California? But in California, it's more the environmental community doesn't want land sold off to development interests.
So during the campaign, they were talking about, well, hey, I think Trump was talking about, we're going to bring back oil. We're going to get away from this alternative energy, maybe consider mining off the coast of California. I believe you said this was proposed by a assemblyman from Santa Monica. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah.
And so was there a concern that, well, you know, if they go ahead, the federal government goes ahead and sells the federal portion of the waters out there to drillers, we want to be able to buy it first to protect our pristine coastline, stuff like that?
Presumably. I mean, part of it is when they lease the oil and gas rights, the U.S. government leases those. Yeah, the state could say we'd want to bid on it first and then never actually do any exploration or production.
Interesting.
So and that could be the theory.
And we were talking at the break about the amount. Nevada is 90% federal land. What was the percentage you said California was of federal land? I think this is shocking. Most people don't know this.
California is like a third federal lands. When you add up Bureau of Land Management, U.S. Forest Service lands, Department of Defense, National Park Service, it's about a third of the state of California's federal land.
Yeah, a lot of this stuff that's happening, at least the federal government in selling off its land, you were saying during the break, it's not like they're selling off Yosemite, you know, or they're not going to sell off, you know, Lassen National Park. You're saying it's like small. The federal government has so much land holding in California. It's like right in the middle of a city, they've got a 100-acre parcel that's in the middle between all these developments, you know, that's just sits there.
Right. Like, for example, right now, which is Nevada, but it's the same issue in Klamath Village. The Forest Service is thinking about giving away several hundred acres to either the tribe up there or to the local government because there's in holdings inside the town. And it's hard to manage if you're the Forest Service. You don't want all these little in holdings inside urban areas or towns and stuff. It just doesn't work for management. So they try to square off their boundaries, actually, get rid of things that are in holding somewhere else and acquire things that are inside their boundaries and make it more logical.
Yeah, kind of like some. Are they doing sometimes a swap or are they just?
They do.
Yeah, because I know as a I have ranches and I know a lot of times these ranchers will have federal government land that's right next to their or stuck right in the middle. Their property surrounds a piece of 80 acres that's federal land and yet they have 2,000 acres around it. So a lot of times the federal government will just say, look, we'll swap and we'll take a little bit of your land over here that's on the edge next to our national forest and we'll give you that.
That's right. They do that and they try to do that if they can. The process is laborious, but it's that's what they try to do in smart land use planning.
Yeah, you represent a lot of people that deal with the government in that issue.
Yeah, all the time. I mean, our clients are always like miners, you know, farmers, ranchers, oil and gas companies. So we're always dealing with the government, getting permits, federal government, state, local governments, all different types of things. Land exchanges, I've worked on those with the Forest Service and with the BLM.
Wow, yeah. That's interesting. You had another
No, no, there? This is fascinating to me. I'm still back at the third of California is federal land because I keep thinking, and we talked about this, I keep thinking about these guys in California that want to cede from the union. It's like, well, I guess technically if you did that, your state would shrink by a third because you can't take the federal land with you.
Well, not only shrink by a third, but it'd be in little pieces.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, that Yosemite would not be in the state. You know, all the national parks wouldn't be in the state because they're federal land. The other thing, too, on that legislation we talked about on the break is the California Ledge Council Office actually concluded that it was a strong possibility it was unconstitutional. So the lawyers in the state really know in their core that bill is not constitutional. So from my perspective, it's being done more for political reasons and sort of the ongoing battles between the Trump administration and the state of California.
Yeah, no, because explain that. So basically, when they pass a law or the legislators has a law, they do have legal counsel that looks at it, correct?
That's right. And it's called the Office of Legislative Counsel. I actually have a few friends who work there. One used to work for me. in the past. But they look at the laws and say if they think they're legal or not before they're enacted. And in this case, they considered there was a strong possibility it was unconstitutional, or another way to say it is they thought it was likely illegal, like the law, right, before it was enacted. So there you go.
So how does that apply? You were saying how this may apply. This case, what's going on right now, may apply to marijuana and California issues.
Well, because it's another sort of fight between the federal and state governments, but currently in federal law, marijuana is a class one drug, which means it has no medicinal value. That's how it's characterized under federal law today. So it's a criminal offense. Any type of marijuana growing or use is a criminal offense under federal law. However, the Appropriations Act, the last couple of years, they're only good for a year. So each year they've said, in the states where it's legal, like California and Colorado, we will say if you're complying with state law for medicinal marijuana, we won't prosecute. But recreational marijuana is still fully federally illegal, even under that appropriations.
And that's what you're saying is that's the issue with this case, too, that you've been talking about. It's state and federal, you know, federal government button heads as to who has the right to do what.
That's right. It's basically a federal supremacy issue.
Yeah. All right.
And that's what we were talking about. It's Senator Cory Gardner from Colorado and Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts have proposed a bipartisan bill to legalize marijuana. Right now, it's a class one drug, same with heroin and cocaine. And Trump said he would support that.
We'll be right back with Pat Mitchell and his expertise.
You are listening to Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station. We'll be back. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only.
My name is Frederick Penny of Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. I've assembled an excellent team of highly experienced personal injury trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. At Penny & Associates, we will aggressively represent you and your family when someone has been injured in an accident. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
For a free initial consultation, go to PennyLawyers.com or call 1-800-616-4LAW and ask for Frederick, Stuart, Rob, Kevin, Kent, or Will. That's Frederick Penny at Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers, 1-800-616-4LAW.
Business needs growth to survive, and Accelerate You is in the business of growing your business. Accelerate You gets it. They have sales professionals, real top talent teams. Accelerate You has venture capitalists, and Accelerate You has strategic partners who roll up their sleeves and help you grow your business. It's what they do. They help people in business just like you. In fact, last year, Accelerate You launched 30 successful go-to markets for startup companies. With success like that, you can see why Accelerate You is able to only work with a select group of companies, perhaps yours. If you want to increase revenue for your business, call 916-BETTER-ZERO. That's 916-237-7370. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Come on, grab the phone. Make the call. Accelerate You. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Again, call 916-BETTER-ZERO for Accelerate You.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
I'm going to Quick Quack Car Wash. Get my car washed, make it quick, quack, pretty, shiny, sexy, just because I want to. Don't drive dirty. Going to get my car suds in the Quick Quack Car Wash. It's the Quick Quack, quickest and the cleanest by far. We're talking 3 skinny minutes sitting right in your car wash. 100 feet of cloth washing your car at the Quick Quack Car Wash. Any Honda, Mazda, Ford, or Chevy, Saab, or Cadillac, Quick Quack will spruce her up just like that. You'll be happy looking snappy. You'll be glad you was at the Quick Quack Car Wash. It on the web and go to don'tdrivedirty.com and see where you got your closest Quick Quack in the local area. Get in your car. Get in your truck. Get on the road, come visit the Duck at the
Quick Quack Car Wash, where your car will always leave happy, guaranteed. They take pride in being clean and green by conserving and recycling the water they use only at the
Quick Quack Car Wash. Quack,
quack. All right, guys, we need to have you read some lines for our disclaimer promo, but first, can anybody tell me what a disclaimer is? All right, then. Well, Denise, you go ahead.
Non uti consilius me oriere per questus purpurium juris consult.
Latin, that's a nice touch. Thank you, Denise. Next time we'll try it in English, if that's okay. Fred, how about you?
Cal, I don't want to read all this. Can't we just tell the people that we're discussing general legal issues and they should hire their own attorney instead of relying on what we have to say here?
Well, we could, I guess. Chris?
I'm not going to be there anyway. Why have me do it?
Let's have Todd do it.
Me? Read disclaimers? Why, I couldn't. The information you hear on Radio Law Talk is general.
The preceding promo was for entertainment purposes only. And if you want true legal advice, contact your own lawyer. Just a tip from your friends at Radio Law Talk.
Be sure to read our disclaimers on RadioLawTalk.com as well.
Today we decided to walk to school. At the corner, we waited to cross the street. The stoplight counted down.
13.
We took a left on Carroll Garden Street. Loud music was coming from a car. Danny's a smart kid, but he gets so distracted.
There were so many other sounds, I didn't know what to focus on.
Danny, Earth to Danny. Suddenly he realized he forgot his homework again.
I left my homework on the table.
At the school steps, we hugged goodbye. I really hope he doesn't have another bad day at school today.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free online resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Get personalized recommendations, practical tips, daily access to experts, and more. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Hear past episodes of Radio Law Talk on RadioLawTalk.com. Just click on the podcast tab. Happy listening.
We're back with Pat Mitchell. Pat, can you stay a little longer? I know you've kind of taken care of your job, but can you stay till top of the hour?
I can, no problem.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about some fun. This is kind of what we do at Radio Law Talk. We do these off-the-wall fun stories that have to do with the law, and the main one here is the Rams are long gone from St. Louis. I don't know what football fan you are, but probably being from the Bay Area, this area, you're probably a San Francisco 49er fan, or I don't know, are you a fan of any specific football team or not, or you don't really care?
Well, I was from L.A. originally. So Rams guy. Back then the Rams were in L.A. when I was down
there. Yeah, back then. But the Rams, they left St. Louis, but here's the big issue is Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush is a superstar. Played at USC.
USC won the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, superstar running back, and he's playing for the 49ers, and this is back in about a few years back.
I think it's 2015.
Yeah, 2015. He's playing in the Dome at America Center, and it's well known for this. They do a lot of events there, and it's got this concrete – wide circle that goes all around the stadium, but it's up kind of up against the seats,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's right where the lower bowl seating comes in. It's like a concrete strip, a track that goes around the circumference of the playing area, right up against the wall, but pretty far removed from the actual playing field.
But the issue is you have people playing with cleats.
That's right.
And so Reggie Bush, and this is not the first time this has happened, because apparently there's another quarterback it happened to, is running, and it's a punt return or a kick return, and he gets pushed off the side, and he's still running and trying to slow. Apparently, he's claiming trying to slow down, and the minute they hit that cement with those cleats, whoop, that you go down, and that's what he did, and he blew his knee out.
I was watching this game on TV. Remember that? Yeah, he had run out of bounds, and it was one of those things where he had plenty of time to stop before he got there, but he just kept kind of going, jogging, slowing down, and then once he got to the concrete part, you saw him just slip and fall right on his backside. It was, I mean, if he hadn't gotten injured, this would be one of those, oh, that's kind of an embarrassing thing to happen, the way he fell down. But the next thing you know, you see all the trainers come over, and they're getting around him, and now he's getting carted off the field.
It was neat, yeah. And so what happens is, this has happened before. Another quarterback slipped and fell and apparently hit the wall and, I can't remember, broke shoulder or got injured anyway also.
Yes.
And so this is not the first time they've had these issues. So the question is, who's liable and who's at fault? And Reggie's trying to say, hey, listen, you've got some serious issues here. You knew about this problem, and now I've got a career-ending injury, which, by the way, is some of the arguments that the defense is going to make, because he actually did have surgery and came back and claimed he was just fine when he came back. In fact, on some interviews he did. But don't forget, I'm going to jump on the side. Sometimes they have to say that, true? Because otherwise, oh, no, I'm still hurt. They're not going to play him. You know, he wants to play. So anyway, what happens is he sues. He doesn't, and I don't know why he does not sue the NFL, but he sues basically the owners of the Dome, which are two government entities. And so there's a number of defendants he's brought in, but not the NFL. He's actually just brought in the Rams.
That's right.
He brought the Rams in.
It's very curious that he did not sue the NFL, because the NFL tightly controls everything that takes place during an NFL game. I mean, they control it down to the length of the national anthem, and sometimes even have it pre-recorded. You know, they are hypercritical and very controlling as it comes. And it's hard to imagine that the NFL, with security over the players and protection of the players, would not have come in and either given their approval for this concrete rim to be around there or not, the issue would not have come up before the Reggie Bush game.
Well, and see, that's what his lawyers are arguing, is whatever the risks are as a football player, they assume risk, but they don't assume a risk of a concrete, you know, slipping an area that's very slippery and going down and hurting themselves. They say 11 yards outside the sidelines, but it's not technically outside the sidelines. It's 11 yards from where the...
It was 11. So on a football field, you got the sidelines, you know, the playing field, and then you have the area where the players and folks stand that's, you know, another 10, 15 yards where they're at. This was 11 yards beyond that. So it wasn't 11 yards from the sideline of the football field. It was 11 yards from the area where people stand.
There is a player's box there that defines the sidelines, and it ends at about, I think, the 20, maybe it's at the 30-yard line. There's a specific area where they can stand that's marked.
Right.
The sideline can begin beyond that area, mm-hmm. and toward the ends of the field, it starts immediately there. But right. there is that player's box area where the bench is and all of
yes.
the, all the equipment and so on.
Well yeah. the interesting thing for me, why they didn't bring the NFL in, I'm sure there's a reason, but we don't know the reason they didn't bring the NFL in, but those of you who have tried cases, and I was a trial lawyer and am a trial lawyer still, but there's an empty chair doctrine. The empty chair doctrine, as a lawyer, is the worst thing you're worried about. You don't want the other side to be able to point to the empty chair. The empty chair is the NFL. And if you look at what their arguments are, what are their arguments? It was the NFL. They controlled everything. It's not us.
Yeah, and why didn't you bring them in?
Yes.
Right. That's why you always name everyone.
That's exactly right.
As a defendant.
Obviously, they're going after the owner of the Edward Jones. It's not the Edward Jones anymore, but it used yeah. to be called the Edward Jones Dome. The NFL gives them specs for the playing field, the playing boxes, where the goalposts are, where the cheerleaders can stand, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Stadium specs, they have to meet the specs. The real question is, did they specify that track was there? And if it wasn't a danger, why did they put padded stuff on the track 2 weeks after the accident?
Two answers are, first of all, even if they didn't specify it, did they know or have knowledge that that was there and was dangerous? That's the first issue.
Fair point.
The second point is, there's a thing called subsequent remedial measures. Every state's different, but in California, if you go out and fix something after the accident, you can't bring that up. And the reason is legislators and the government and the public want you to fix it. Right. So it goes against a person to go fix it after the fact. So the fact that afterwards they put down rubber mats, generally they're not going to be able to bring that up to a jury.
But with this case here, one of the other issues is causation.
Right.
And what actually caused the injury that Reggie Bush suffered?
It's
and
huge.
they have a unique witness here in this case, which is the former trainer for the San Francisco 49ers, who apparently is going to testify at trial that upon the injury, Reggie Bush told him that before he got to the concrete track, he felt and heard a pop in his knee. And so the issue there is, well, okay, it wasn't the track that caused the knee injury. That had already happened, even if it's a couple of seconds or a microsecond before you get to the track.
Yeah, that's true. I have a brother-in-law who's an orthopedic surgeon in L.A., and he always tells me pops aren't good, pops aren't good. So the I've had knee surgery twice on my left knee, actually, including the similar injury was the second one. So I know what it feels like and what happens afterwards. And if that's what the facts were, obviously the implication is that he already tore his knee before he hit the concrete.
Yeah, well, here's where are all these facts coming from? They had the opening statements, and this is thanks to Joel Currier of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch was in there and listened to this, and he wrote all the, you know, he heard, again, this is a reporter saying what they heard in the courtroom, and, right. and they're going to pick and choose some of the stuff that they hear, but the thing is very clear is, that they're opening, these are the opening statements of the plaintiff's side, Reggie's mm-hmm. side, and the other side. But what the other interesting thing is, the defendants, don't forget, you've got a government entity here, and the taxpayers, their whole argument back there is, okay, the Rams are gone, and us as taxpayers are still going to be paying if Reggie Bush wins.
And here's another question that I've got for you, Fred, as a trial attorney in the civil realm.
Right.
So you got Reggie Bush, and to a certain extent, especially with the pop before or after he got to the concrete barrier, Reggie Bush's testimony is going to be critical here about when he first felt that pop. And so anytime a witness takes the stand, there's an issue about their credibility, whether or not they have prior crimes of moral turpitude. And we are talking about somebody who admittedly cheated in college, had the Heisman Trophy revoked, taken away from him. He won the Heisman because of that. To what extent is that even admissible to impeach his credibility in the event he takes the stand to testify?
And that is up to the judge to determine whether or not that goes to his veracity. And there's in California, it's called a 351 motion. And you know what that it's basically, is this gonna so damage that this issue that it shouldn't be brought in. I mean, the damage as in, and it's a really a minor issue. That's the question.
And I think the other problem is finding jurors that don't otherwise already know about
this. And that's
this.
Exactly true. But you have to understand that a lot of issues here, everyone's going to be pointing the fingers. I mean, this is going to be the famous finger-pointing case where everyone's going to be saying this person's at fault, that person's at fault. There's some other interesting things on this case we're going to talk about when we come back from the break. We'll be right back.
Yes, you found it, Radio Law Talk, on RadioLawTalk.com and on your favorite radio station. Turn it up. There's much more straight ahead. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk are for California legal services only. The cost of getting rid of garbage is high, and recycling products is lucrative. If you're a business or know of a business that needs an individual compactor or baler, call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. If you already have an industrial compactor, baler, or shredder and need service, don't forget to call Northwest Compacting at 888-201-0911. Northwest Compacting, your full-service industrial compacting and baling company. Read more about them at northwestcompacting.com.
Business needs growth to survive, and Accelerate U is in the business of growing your business. Accelerate U gets it. They have sales professionals, real top talent teams. Accelerate U has venture capitalists, and Accelerate U has strategic partners who roll up their sleeves and help you grow your business. It's what they do. They help people in business just like you. In fact, last year, Accelerate U launched 30 successful go-to markets for startup companies. With success like that, you can see why Accelerate U is able to only work with a select group of companies, perhaps yours. If you want to increase revenue for your business, call 916-BETTER-ZERO. That's 916-237-7370. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Come on.
Grab the phone. Make the call. Accelerate you. 916-BETTER-ZERO. Again, call 916-BETTER-ZERO for Accelerate You.
Jason Rosbach here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
This is Denise Sturks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
Looking for a full day of fun for the family? You can't beat spending your day or evening at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville, the premier family entertainment destination for all of Northern California. Pick from one of two adventure-themed 18-hole mini golf courses, then get challenged on our fast car racetrack. Don't miss Golfland's state-of-the-art laser tag arena, Laser Nights, and over 200 arcade games. The best in family entertainment, now at Golfland Sunsplash in Roseville. Golfland.com.
I knew I had a problem, but I didn't know what to do about it.
I tried counting calories, I took pills, eating and eating, and then more eating.
I really wanted to stop, but nothing could make me stop.
At one point, it was so bad that I just felt like giving up.
I felt so alone.
Like nobody else could possibly understand.
We understand. We're Overeaters Anonymous, and we have helped thousands of people just like you. People who want to stop their compulsive eating and start living a healthy, rewarding life.
Overeaters Anonymous, help me get my life back.
Now I eat in a way that's healthy and good for me.
I never realized what I was missing out on.
With OA, I am living again and loving it.
Start living the life you deserve with help from Overeaters Anonymous. Find us on the web at oa.org.
All around the world, this is RadioLawTalk.com.
Radio Law Talk and RadioLawTalk.com.
So Reggie Bush, the concrete area he slipped on, Pat, is called, what do they call that thing? They call it the
concrete
ring of death.
and I have to make a correction. I went and looked up the video during the break to check it out again, and I am wrong.
Unlike
Fonzie in Happy Days, who could not say he was wrong, I will say that I was wrong.
Good, there you go, Cal. Hit that one up.
Because as I looked at it, and I looked at when Bush. He goes out the sidelines about the 30-40 yard line, and he did not have enough time to slow down completely. He was trying to slow down from the minute he left the field of play and came upon the concrete and slipped. Although, in looking at it, the video that I looked at also showed the injury to the quarterback that Fred was talking about that occurred about 2 or 3 weeks prior. That appears to be a different case in the sense that in that one, the quarterback didn't slide. He impacted the wall as he was running. And the issue here is the sidelines or the wall area may just be too close regardless of the concrete. That exacerbates it, but it's a very confined field of play.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah. I found the interesting thing on this. Let's go back before the break. We're talking about the pop. And you're saying he's got a real issue because the trainer's going to testify that Reggie told him that he heard a pop prior to hitting the concrete. Okay, now I'm going to jump on Reggie's side. You can look at the video. He's trying to stop because I'm arguing here comes this concrete slippery spot. I'm trying to stop. And let's assume it pops right before I hit the concrete. If that concrete wasn't there, I would have just gradually rolled into it instead of jamming my leg down and popping my knee to try to stop.
And I think that
could be.
And I think the flip side to that, from the Edward or from the defendant's standpoint, is we do have a person who has prior injuries to his knee. Mm-hmm. Okay, and who's to say that's very speculative that if the concrete hadn't been there, I would have slowed down. I was trying to stop regardless because 8 feet beyond where the concrete starts, I've got a wall that I'm going to run into. I got to slow down at some point. And you start to get into how much pressure does it require before you have a pop in the knee. I'll tell you, this is an excellent jury issue.
Oh no!
I mean, the jury's going to look at this and go, boy, where do we draw the line?
And one thing, Fred, on the break, we're talking about, you know, I had two knee surgeries on the same knee, which I don't think is actually coincidental, right? It's sort of weakened, and then it's never quite the same. And they talk about how he had two previous knee injuries, but you had a comment on that about the
eggshell
plane.
Yeah, you take them how they are. Then that's the way it is, the eggshell plane. But here's the interesting thing now to jump on the defense side. At the news conference, there's two ways you can argue this. I'm going to argue both sides. At the news conference, after his surgery's done and he does his rehab, he said, I'm 100% and eager to get back on the field. I'm in shape, I'm in full strength, and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that's where you look at damages. And the thing to understand in the NFL, he's on the team, okay? So he gets injured here. It's not like he lost his salary for the San Francisco 49ers for the rest of that year.
But he signed with a new team after that. He lost his gig with the Niners and signed with Buffalo.
But the big issue there is they're going to sign him on a lesser amount due to the fact, okay, this guy's got more injuries, we're worried.
Yep. And I think that what comes in there, into play there, is they would have to look at, okay, which running backs were signed that year? What was the average rate of pay that they were signed? Did Reggie Bush sign at a rate lower than other running backs with the same skill set and what they were doing? But he said, my knee is fine. Now, I know that could be him, you know, posturing there to let people know that he's okay, and you want to put that up there.
And you want to be able to get a good contract.
That's true. But NFL teams have a very rigorous testing process. You see all the time trades and things are invalidated because somebody doesn't pass a physical examination. You know they're going to MRI the snot out of that knee and take a look at it and let their doctors take a look at it and see what's going on. And the fact of the matter is he signed with Buffalo and was able to play. He didn't retire until last year.
Yeah, but go ahead, Pat.
What about his age factor? Because he's 31. He's a running back. You're sort of at the end of your rope. So even if you did get your knee to 100%, you're not going to get what you got if you're a 24-year-old running back.
That's true.
I was thinking of when O.J. Simpson left the Buffalo Bills and came to the 49ers. What did he say?
He said, I want to find a white Broncos or one around here I can drive.
Anybody got a car I can borrow? He said,
let's go to Vegas.
He said, my knees are fine. I'm going to do, and you know what? He made a cut, turned the corner. He collapsed, buckled, went down. They cut him, you know, a little while later. Because fine is a relative term. Do you still have your athletic ability versus having a fine knee?
The only thing I will say there is the NFL is a vastly different machine in 2015 in terms of medical advances and being able to get MRIs and find out stuff about players versus what the NFL was back in the late 70s, where player health and safety wasn't as big of a concern. It was what's going to put butts in seats.
It's all subjective, right?
Yeah,
right. The other key issue when you start thinking about all of that is that the NFL's great at doing everything from the neck down. Now they're starting to worry about the neck up, and for the same reason, because they have liability in a courtroom. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And the thing is, let's assume Reggie Bush wins on everything, okay? And the last thing is you're proven his damages, what we got the damages. Now, here's going to be the real issue. We touched on it, but I want to get into it a little more. How do you prove? Because they're saying Bush's knee injury prevented him from getting a more lucrative deal as a free agent. That is speculative. Now, what they do is they have experts testify, but how difficult is that going to be? Me as a lawyer, as a plaintiff's lawyer, I'm scratching my head. Man, how am I going to do that? Let me tell you, our firm has handled a lot of personal injury cases. I mean, I'm in the 10,000 range, you know, including some of the workers' comp stuff we've done. But let me tell you, I've had many people saying, my kid was going to be a superstar football player if he didn't get injured in this accident, you know. And I always say to myself, how am I going to prove that? And that is a difficult part. It doesn't mean you can't, because you can, but that is very difficult. And that's experts rocking in and saying, okay, this kid was playing for X high school. He was scoring this many points. You know, this is what he could have done. But, boy, talk about going down the line. What's the percentage of basketball players or football players coming out of, quote, high school that are going to play in the NFL? It's low.
2% go to college. 1% go to the NFL.
From college.
Right. And about half of that actually end up playing and making the
team. That's right.
And what's more, let's just take another step back and look at this here. So you would think that the folks that have the best ability to predict the longevity and success of somebody in pro sports would be the scouts and the teams and the ones that run the draft and all of that.
General managers.
Take basketball, for example. And how many times do you see general managers draft some kid out of college with the first and second pick, and they are a bust? They do absolutely nothing. And so here you've got people that are the preeminent experts in the field of who will be successful, and they can't even pick with any reasonable degree of accuracy how well somebody is going to perform at the professional level. And we're supposed to believe mom and dad?
Right.
Who are highly subjective.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And the one thing, Fred, like you said, here's a guy before this the injury, he already had two. So even if he didn't have this one, he's 31.
Yeah.
So you're piling that on top of the speculation. You know, it makes it even more difficult, I think, because you're at the end of your career anyway.
Yeah.
And frankly, his skill set with the 49ers when he was there was just not that good.
Yeah, no, it comes down to how are you going to prove this? And this is what's going to be interesting about this case as we follow it, because we're going to follow it. Is when the jury comes back, don't forget, juries, I always tell my clients, rolling the dice. Well, no, we've got this proof. You're rolling the dice with a jury. I don't care what you say. You do the best thing. You do the best you can to pick. You just never know. There's so many times I put my head down, up, we law. I'm, wow, really? You know, you just never know what's going to happen with a jury.
Well, most our stuff, there are court trials, not with a jury, but it's the same thing. I tell them the same thing. It's the same thing with the judge. It's a huge crapshoot element. When you're going to trial.
And that's why people settle all the time, because it's you know, it's a bird in hand. You know, you take a little bit less, sometimes you do. But we're going to watch this and see what happens. There's a lot of people with money on the line that Reggie Bush can go after, but it's still shocked, and I want to try to figure out why the NFL is not involved in this. So, but hey, Pat, thanks a million. Again, your law firm is Mitchell Chadwick. You're in California. You guys are a great firm. Thank you for coming on. And tell all the other lawyers when they want to come on that it wasn't that bad.
Okay.
We were semi-nice to you. If you want to call in.
Use mouthwash.
Yeah, there you go.
And deodorant.
855-LAW-RADIO. We'll be right back with the third hour. We'll do a case or no case.
Thanks, Pat. Have a great vacation.
Thanks so much, guys. See you next time.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk Incorporated.